A heart divided. Commitment seems to be a fluid word today. We can be committed to something one day and then on to something else the next, like butterflies. Dedicated engagement to a cause or a person is something that's rare. Has the fight gone out of us, with the result that our allegiances are torn between loyalties, ourselves and something or someone that truly matters? The word warns us about a divided heart. King Solomon connects loyalty to kindness and states, never let loyalty and kindness leave you. Tie them around your neck as a reminder. Write them deep into your heart. James is more explicit, writing, be sure that your faith is in God alone. Do not waver, for a person with divided loyalty is unsettled as a wave of the sea that is blown and tossed by the wind. Joshua phrased it this way, choose today whom you will serve. He'd led them into the promised land and successfully directed them in battle after battle, and yet he knew it was not our swords or bows that brought us victory, but God. Even the land they now enjoyed was provided through the generosity of the Lord. Thus he called to them, fear the Lord and serve him wholeheartedly, and not waver between the gods of Egypt or the gods of the Amorites, pledging before them his own loyalty. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Samuel delivered the same challenge to his people centuries later. If you return to the Lord with all your hearts, get rid of your foreign gods and your images of Ashtoreth. Turn your hearts to the Lord and obey him. Then he will rescue you from the Philistines. The people listened and obeyed, and Samuel led them to victory because God fought with them. But it seems that every generation must decide where their loyalties lie. For the prophet Elijah had to confront the people on Mount Carmel with the same challenge. Facing 450 prophets of Baal and 400 prophets of Asherah, who were supported by Jezebel, Elijah spoke to the crowd, how much longer will you waver, hobbling between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal is God, then follow him. But the people were completely silent. The people had no strength to speak. Their hearts were divided between following the safe way of the world and standing up for God Almighty. But Elijah had no such fear, and God ordered yet another decisive victory. What victories are you enjoying in your life? If you aren't, then ask yourself if there are things you have set up in place of God. Look to see if your heart has become divided in some way. Jesus says we can't serve two masters, for you will hate one and love the other. You will be devoted to one and despise the others, concluding that we cannot serve and be enslaved to money. For Jesus says that any kingdom or person divided against itself will fall. We can't be on God's side one minute and Satan's side the next. That's the place of sinking sand. And in the times of struggle or strife, our house will fall. Christ is our only solid foundation. And that's whom we must serve. Isaiah warns that we mustn't be people who honor God with their lips, but their hearts are far from him, worshiping him with man-made rules learned by rote and not with sincere hearts. When we love the world instead of God, that's what's going to happen. We sing the worship songs, nod our heads at our pastor's words, and then go out and do our own thing. That's a divided heart, and why John writes, do not love this world nor the things it offers you. For when you love the world, you do not have the love of the Father in you. For the world offers only a craving for physical pleasure, a craving for everything we see, and pride in our achievements and possessions. These are not from the Father, but are from this world. And this world is fading away along with everything that people crave. But anyone who does what pleases God will live forever. We have to do a heart check, beloved. We can't have a fickle, which is disloyal, changeable, inconsistent, unreliable heart, like the children of Israel who were getting richer and in their self-sufficiency and worldly security, began to make empty promises to God and to others, and then they built pagan altars, spending their time and resources on things that don't have any eternal value. Instead, we need to be like those who return to their homeland, their first love, and remove every trace of any previous commitments or false loyalties that has taken our heart out of the hand of God. For when we do so, God says, I will give them singleness of heart and put a new spirit within them. I will take away their stony and stubborn heart and give them a tender, responsive heart, so they will obey my decrees and regulations. Then they will truly be my people, and I will be their God. An undivided heart. How can we do this? Well, David's prayer in Psalm 86 explains, we need to cry out to him, teach me your ways, O Lord, that I may live according to your truth. Grant me purity of heart so that I may honor you. Then we are firmly in God's camp and can receive his blessings. For God can't bless a person who flutters after the next best thing. As James says, such people should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Why? Because their loyalty is divided between God and the world, and they are unstable in everything they do. James calls them to draw close to God and purify their divided hearts. And so, beloved, where does your heart rest today? In God's hands or your own? We can't hide from him. He knows if we're hot or cold, committed or indecisive. He says, I wish that you were one or the other, but since you are like lukewarm water, neither hot or cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. You say I'm rich. I have everything I want. I don't need a thing. And you don't realize that you are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. So I advise you to buy gold from me, Christ says, gold that has been purified by fire. Then you will be rich. Also buy white garments from me so that you will not be shamed by your nakedness, and ointment for your eyes so you'll be able to see. Be diligent and turn from your indifference. The riches of this world will never replace the heavenly riches that our God offers. He willingly, daily, and completely makes a passionate commitment to us, we read in 1 Chronicles 16. And he always stands by his covenant, the commitment he made to 1,000 generations, we read in Psalm 105. He promised us a Savior, one who would be a wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, whose government and its peace will never end, one who would rule with fairness and justice for all eternity. To this promise, God said, the passionate commitment of the Lord of Heaven's armies will make this happen. And it did. It's Jesus. He says that his exiled people will return and spread out from Jerusalem a group of survivors from Mount Zion. And they did in the reign of King Artaxerxes. And even again in 1948 when the Jewish people returned to their homeland to establish their nation once more. Our God is a famous and faithful promise keeper. He does not waver in his love, which he lavishes upon us, or his commitment to his word. For when he sends it out, it will accomplish all he wants it to, and it will prosper everywhere it sends it. He sends it. His loyalty is not divided, for he says, I have loved you with an everlasting love. With unfailing love, I have drawn you to myself. How then do we repay such love, such grace, such mercy? By giving him our whole heart, unwavering, undivided, fully committed. When we turn to him with our whole heart and worship and serve him with a willing mind, he will hear our prayers, uphold our cause, and forgive our sins. And he knows we can't do this alone, and thus he searches the whole earth in order to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him. He's on our side for victory, and as Paul affirms, God works in us, giving us the desire and the power to do what pleases him. Let's give him our whole heart, that he may do this great work. Amen. and amen.